So we have this thing in our world, the world of, you know, this whole year has been so crazy. It's affected every part of our lives. It's even affected sports. You know, for example, the NFL. The NFL, for the first time in I don't know how many years, did not have something that it always has, which is a preseason. Now, I think most people who like the NFL, like you like to watch football games, we don't really enjoy the preseason much because it's not a real game. Right, it doesn't seem like a real game, but they have preseason games to get ready for the games that really matter. In other words, the preseason is all about figuring out what's wrong and how to prepare for when the games really count. Now we're getting ready to enter into a time of another season, called the Christmas season. And today you can kind of get an idea here of where I'm headed. I want to give a preseason message. This is a message to get us ready for what our theme is actually going to be for Christmas this year. I have chosen, and my worship our worship team has responded in agreement. We are looking at something called a season of hope. Or I'm sorry, a season of peace. Wouldn't that be a nice thing right now?
Amen.
Aren't you ready for a season of peace?
Amen.
In the midst of a whole lot of not peace in our world? So if there's anything, last Sunday we had a very special service, and there were some incredible truths that we learned in that. The first was that the rapture of the church is a picture of Jesus getting his bride. We talked about that. We had a beautiful time. But and of course, it was, if you weren't here, you missed out on an incredibly beautiful service that closed with a surprise wedding. A surprise to the bride, of all things, if you can imagine. Believe it or not, that is actually the second time that I have done a wedding where the bride didn't know it was going to happen. Can you believe that? Now, I've done about 70 weddings. But that's the second time that we had. Actually, Randy and Sherry Ridge's, Randy and Sherry Ridge, their daughter got married in a surprise way. If you remember that, back at the old building. It was a little iffy. I was like, oh, I hope she says yes. You go into a lot of trouble if she hasn't. But we learned a couple of really important things last week. Of course, we learned about the rapture. We learned about the church being the bride of Christ. But I think even more importantly, we saw in Alan and Teresa's lives, and they were very open with us. They allowed me to share their struggles, their difficulties. What we saw last week was a marriage that was saved when all human hope was lost. I mean, by their own admission, it was done. It was done. She was going to go back to Philadelphia, and they were going to part ways, and they both had reconciled that in their minds and in their hearts. And then something happened. And none of us really know what happened. But somehow, some way, God chose to move.
Amen.
In their lives. And so here's the takeaway from that. Folks, there are simply some things in this world that only God can do.
Amen.
And the only way they're going to happen is if God does it.
Yep.
Now, we can pray. We should do our best. Let's don't be the lazy Christians who make excuses and blame God for prayers not getting answered when God expects us to answer our own prayers. Yeah, I said that.
Right.
You know, don't pray and ask God to drop money into your lap if you're not willing to go out and get a job. Or a second job. Look, that's how it works. God already answered that prayer. He said, look, I gave you a body. You can go work. You know, you don't need to, you know, ask God to provide the job, but don't ask God to do the work for us. Now, again, that's not the message today, but my point is, you know, we can pray and we can do all these things. We can do our best and we should do our best and we should try everything to make things good in this world and happen in this world. But the fact of the matter is, there are some things that when it comes right down to it, it is impossible for man to do. But for God, not that big a deal. In fact, Jesus kind of said it this way. Let me show it to you in Matthew chapter 19. Jesus said it very, very simply. Jesus looked at them and said unto them, with men, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Now, can I ask you a question? Do you believe that?
Amen.
Do you believe there are some things that it's impossible for men to do?
Yes.
Do you also believe that there's nothing that's impossible for God?
Amen.
Now notice, All things are possible with God. Doesn't say God will do all things. Doesn't say all things are guaranteed. But he does say that with God, all things are possible. Now, what we try to not take a lift a verse out of Scripture and not include the context. I always try to at least keep the context proper. It's a proper thing to do when you're studying Scripture. So let's go back and take a look at what Jesus was talking about here. He was actually talking to some rich people, you know, like this crowd. All right, the crowd up on the corner that aren't meeting anymore. But he's talking to some rich people, and he was talking about wealthy people. He had just had a young man that came that was really, really important, and he had a great job, and he had lots of money. And Jesus had just spoken to him, and he said, "Hey, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus basically said, "You need to go sell everything you have and give your money to the poor." Now, that's a whole different message, and it was a different time, honestly, but there's a lot in this. But here's the context that Jesus said. Let's go back to verse number 23. He was talking about salvation of wealthy people. Verse 23, Jesus said to his disciples, he said, "Assuredly, I say to you, that it is hard for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven." He said, it's tough for rich people because they have a lot to give. And in those days, they would have to give some of that away. Verse 24, notice, now he said it was hard for them to enter the kingdom of heaven, but then he changes, and I can't get into it. This message is for another time and another lesson. He's going to switch to the kingdom of God here at the end, but notice he said, "And again I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." Now you've probably heard this verse talked about. Even the world kind of has an idea. There's a verse somewhere in Scripture that talks about a camel going through the eye of a needle. Now, I have heard a lot of preaching about this. I've heard a lot of teaching trying to explain this away, trying to almost apologize for God writing something like this. So they try to make up stories like, well, there was this. I've heard somebody say, well, in Jerusalem, in order for the camels to go in, the camels had to go through this really short gate, and they had to get down on their knees and crawl. Have you ever heard that story? Yeah, that's not true. Okay, that is just not true. By the way, you don't have to apologize for God. We don't have to apologize for anything Jesus said or anything that God wrote, because there is an explanation. And I'll tell you what the explanation is. He was basically just simply saying, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle, which is impossible, by the way. And he said, because it's impossible for you to buy your way into the kingdom of God. That's basically what he said. He said, look, you wealthy people, you can give your money to the charity. You can buy in a little bit of the kingdom of heaven. It's a different thing. He said, but you cannot get a relationship with God no matter how much money you have. Amen. Now, I don't know about you. I'm really glad about that because I don't have any money. Right? Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that your relationship with God is not based on how much money you have? It is. Your relationship, let's just say, with Michael Jordan, that's probably based on how much money you have, right? You can get in with some celebrities, and you can get in with some really important people, maybe some politicians in this world, based on how much money you have. But you can't get in with God no matter how much money you have. There's only one way. So basically what he was saying was, it's impossible with men. In other words, it's impossible for you to do anything to get to God. That's why Jesus came and did everything. So that's the message here that he was explaining to them. He said that it's impossible for men to earn their way into heaven or to earn their way into a relationship with God. Now, when we look at our world today, there are some things that seem and are just as impossible as a camel going through the eye of a needle. By the way, that word needle just literally means a needle, and that's what he was saying. It means exactly what it says it means. There are some things in our world that seem impossible to have happen. And I believe one of those right now is peace. You know, back in the days when they had beauty pageants, remember the Miss America pageants and all that they used to have? And they would always ask, you know, what is it that you want in the world? And you know, half of those blondes. Oh, wow. I guess you can't do that anymore, huh? Oh, sorry. Half of them would say, "I want world peace," right? That was kind of the joke. Would you like to have world peace? Of course we would. But you know, world peace is impossible. It's impossible with men. It's impossible. You know, when we look at our world today, you know, this concept of peace might be one of the farthest things from the ability of man. So let's just talk about it. So when we talk about having peace, let's just talk about that. I talked about world peace. We'd like to have world peace, yes? It's impossible for man to pull that off. How about in America? How about peace in America? Would you like to have peace in America? Of course we would. Wouldn't it be great? Wouldn't it be great if there was a way to have that? It'd be amazing. Pretty unrealistic for us to think about. But how about our neighborhoods? Wouldn't it be nice to have peace in your neighborhood? There's always that one person in a neighborhood, right? How many of you live in an addition? You live in like a bunch of houses. Nobody? Nobody? Well, you kinda, there's always that one, right? There's always that one that doesn't mow, that one that plays has the parties every night. Oh, that's you. There's always that one in every neighborhood. There's always that one in every apartment building, isn't there? You know, if you live in an apartment building, there's always that one neighbor that you can always hear. You know, she's yelling at her kids or the dog's barking. You know, there's always that. But wouldn't it be nice if there was some way to have peace in a neighborhood? Well, aren't we hearing a lot about violence in neighborhoods these days? How about our homes? Those of you tuning in at home, wouldn't it be an amazing thing to have peace in our homes? Especially as we enter into this season of Christmas, this season of peace. Now, we all would like to have this. It would be a great thing. If only God would tell us how it's possible. If only God would write a book. You know, it would be so much easier if God would just take all of his thoughts, everything that we need to know, and put them in a book that we could read and find out. Oh, you mean there is a way to have peace? You mean there is a way to have that? There is a way to pay my bills? There is a way to get along in my marriage? There, if only God would do that. Oh, God did do that.
Amen.
So why does the world have so many problems? Why do we have so many problems? Yeah, we don't read the book. Now look, I don't know about you. I'm not real big on reading instructions. Okay? When there's something to put together, when I buy a tool or I buy a grill or something like, if I buy something like that and it comes, for me, it would be easier, I feel like it's easier to just go ahead and just go at it, you know, and just start putting things together because the instructions usually are in Chinese. And you know, and even the ones that are in English, they don't make any sense to me at all. So, but when it comes to our lives, when it comes to life, we probably ought to consult the instructions. Because believe it or not, God did actually tell us there is a way to have peace. And he gave us that message, believe it or not, you know, he gave us that message a long time ago. In fact, he gave us that message about somewhere around 2,000 years ago. And he gave it through a group of angels to a group of shepherds. And it just so happens to be the Christmas story. So let's pick it up in Luke chapter number 2. Let's get the background here. Luke chapter number 2, you know these verses. Beginning of verse number 10, you'll recognize these immediately. And the angel said unto them, "Do not be afraid. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For there is born unto you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign unto you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying," now time out before we go on. Here's the, don't look back at her. It's my fault. Here's the thing. Here's what God said. God said, "You want to know how to have peace? I'll tell you. I'll tell you through some angels." He said, "Here's how you have peace." Verse 14. "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men." Now, without doing any injustice to this scripture, we could actually, for our purposes, because of the way it was written, we could actually add a couple of words here. And basically, here's what God said. He said, if you will give glory to God in the highest,
amen,
there will be peace on earth.
Amen.
and goodwill toward men. In other words, this is a command. He said, you give God glory and you will have peace on earth. Do you believe that? If only, can you imagine? Let's go back to our slide here. So let's go back to the world. Is it possible for there to be world peace? One at a time, one at a time. Let's go back to the world. Can the world have peace? Can you imagine what would happen if the United Nations would all convene? And not just the ambassadors would be there, but also bring the leaders, all the kings, all the dictators, the presidents, and all those. If the leadership of all the countries of the world all met together in the United Nations, can you imagine what God might do if every one of them would drop to their knees and just simply acknowledge that He's God? Amen. Do you think God might say, you know what, I can take this COVID thing from you, since you've chosen to acknowledge me. Since you've chosen, I could bring peace to you. Do you think that if everybody was focused, if all the nations of the world were focused on trying to please God, would that leave a whole lot of room to have war? Probably not. The world could have peace, but watch, in order for the world to have peace, then what did God say? Then the world has to give God the glory. You follow me? Now, is that going to happen? No. No. God could bring about world peace, and only God could bring about world peace, and the only way that it would ever happen is if the entire world gave God the glory. Now, before we say, well, you know, that just could absolutely never happen because you could never get every single person, God actually is a merciful God, and God prefers mercy than He does judgment. And He proved that back in the days of Abraham. Abraham one time was looking out, and he was talking to an angel about two cities, Sodom and Gomorrah. And he was talking to God, and he said, God, they're not all going to follow you. I know they're not all righteous. They're not all going to look to you. They're not all going to recognize you. And God said, I'll tell you what do you want, Abraham? And Abraham said, well, how about a 50 of them were good? How about a 50 of them would just simply be righteous and acknowledge you? And God said, yeah, I would spare the whole city, you know, probably 10,000 or more. You know, and Abraham realized, oh, there's probably not that many. And so he began backing off. Do you know the story?
Yeah.
He said, How about this many? Settled on 5. And God said, you know what? I would even spare these cities for 5. Now, I don't know about you. I don't know what the percentage is God's looking for. But if a certain percentage of the world would give God the glory, God would give peace to the world. And by the way, there is going to come a day where there will be peace on earth. Amen. And it's going to be God who does it. But it's not going to happen until Jesus has conquered all of His enemies at the end of the tribulation and ushered in the millennial kingdom. That's a whole different time that we're going to talk about. So there is going to come a time where there's going to be peace in the world. How about America? Could there ever be peace in America? Only if America would do what? Give God the glory. Same thing applies. I don't know what the percentage is, but I suspect that the only reason America is still here, in spite of the wickedness of America. Do you know America is one of the most wicked countries on the face of the earth? Hey, okay, time out. We despise the things that go on in Iran, do we not? We despise the things that go on in some of those countries that mistreat women and all that kind of stuff and are prone to violence. But let me tell you something, in a lot of ways, there's more righteousness in some of those countries than there is in America. They don't allow some of the filth. They don't allow some of the filth on their airways. The TVs that we do. And again, that's a whole different thing. My point is, God's not looking for perfection in America, but God did say, look, if America would give me the glory, then I would give peace to America. Do you see it happening in America any other way? Do you see the end of racial problems any way other than God coming down and doing it? And guess what? It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen no matter how many commercials we watch, no matter who we elect as president, no matter who we elect in Congress. You can pass all the laws about discrimination and all that. Nothing is ever going to change in America with regard to racism and the problems of different skin colors unless God does something. And God said, I will do something. I will bring peace if you will bring me glory. Now, those are pretty, there's not a lot we can do about that, yes? But could we maybe set our sights on our neighborhoods? So what would it take for a neighborhood to be at peace? Do you know all across America there are neighbors? One has a Biden sign in the front yard. One has a Trump sign in the front yard. And they both refuse to take them down.
Yep.
Neither one's going to be the one to take it down first. This is the kind of thing that's going on right now. Now watch. But is it possible that if a neighborhood, could a neighborhood have peace? Yeah, if that neighborhood would give honor and glory to God. If a neighborhood would give glory to God, then he said, I could bring peace to a neighborhood. Again, a lot of that's out of our control. So what do we have left? Well, we have our homes. We have our homes. Could your home have peace this year?
Yes.
Amen.
Could you have a home this season of Christmas that is so at peace? It's something you've never experienced before. Could parents be at peace with children?
Yep.
Even teenagers?
Yep.
No, probably not. No, I'm just kidding. Probably not. Yeah, of course they could. Of course they could. Could brothers and sisters be at peace with one another? Could people within the family, could there be peace in our homes? Yeah, there could be. But what's going to happen? What did God say? If you want peace in your home, then what does the home have to do?
Give the glory
to God. Now, what does that mean? Because give the glory to God kind of sounds a little churchy. So how do we do that? What exactly does it mean when we say give the glory to God? Let me give you a couple of things. Remember preseason. Remember, this is the preseason message. This is a pre-Christmas season of peace message. So what do we need to look at? What do we need to do in order to have peace in our homes? Number one, God said you need to check some things. Okay, let me just give it to you. Number one, God said first check yourself.
Amen.
Check yourself. Oh, Pastor, I'm not the problem. Yes, sir, you are. Yes, ma'am, you are. Oh, no, it's not me. It's my husband. And it's you. It's you. Now, it's your husband, too. It's your boyfriend, too. It's your children, also. But it's you. It's me. God said, I want you to check yourself first. You know, we need to, you know, what did David say? David one time wrote in the book of Psalms, he wrote, search me, O God, and see if there be any wicked way in me.
Amen.
David was a man after God's own heart. And he said, I know their problem. He said, God, you need to search me. He didn't say, search my people. He didn't say, search my wives, my children. God said, I can, because God could deal with all them. And David knew that there was all kinds of problems in his family. But David started with himself and he said, search me, God. You want peace in your home? It's going to have to start with you.
Amen.
It's going to have to start with me. The best person in this room. I want everybody all at once. I'm going to count to three and I want you to point to the very best person in this room. One, two, three. Everybody's pointing at AJ. I knew that. I knew it. No, I'm just kidding. Look, the best person in this room has to start with himself.
Amen.
Or herself. God said, I want you to check yourself first. Number two, he said, then you check your home. The Jews had a, we'll talk about this at Passover. I did some lessons on Passover last year. The Jews had this special part of that holiday where they would go through their home and they would search out and find any leaven in their home. Leaven was a picture of sin. So that would be anything with yeast in it or sugar in it, something like that. They would go through and they would clean out their whole house, get all of that out of there. God said that is a symbol of what we're supposed to do with our homes. Now, that doesn't mean you have to go and get all the Twinkies out of your house. That's not what that means. But what it does mean is God said maybe you ought to go through your house and see what's there. See what's coming through the television screen in your home. See what's in your fridge. See what's in this. You know, God said, look, you need to look at the influences. Look at maybe people. Oh, it's getting quiet. It may be people. God says, maybe you need to take a look at who are the influences you bring into your home. You want peace in your home, it's got to start with you. Then go through your home. We've got to figure out who the influences is. Listen, and I say this, and I'm a big believer in family, and I believe that we ought to be for family. I believe families ought to reconcile and all these things. But if you've got a real stinker in your family, you don't have to have that person in your home.
Amen.
If you've got somebody in your family that just brings a bad spirit, a hateful spirit, a vulgar spirit, somebody that just you don't have to have that person in your home. You have permission from God to rule your home. And God said, you need to check your home. Check your home. But finally, if we want peace, check ourselves, we check our home, we also want to check our checkbooks. Now, I'm sure we just lost. How many people do we lose on Facebook Live there? All of them? They're all gone? Okay. We want to check our checkbook. Do you want to know the barometer of whether or not we are glorifying God? Check our checkbooks. And for all of you who are under the age of 30, a checkbook is something that people used to use. They used to actually write on pieces of paper and they would give it to Bill. Check your checkbook. Check your bank statements. That'll tell us where our priorities are. That'll tell us where God is on our priority list and whether or not we're giving glory to God. And many of you have been waiting for me to talk about this. As Black Friday has begun early, or as I call it, Black and Blue Friday. Can I ask you a question? Maybe you've already given in to Black and Blue Friday. Maybe you've already gone out and spent money you did not have, put it on credit to buy things for people who don't deserve it. And who won't appreciate it after January 15th. Yep. And probably will break it. Yep. Or lose it. Look, is God glorified by us going into debt for that? No, God's not glorified by that. I would really, and I say this every year, the thing I hate the most about Christmas is gift giving, the pressure to give gifts. We just don't do much of that. We just don't do much of that. Tammy and I spend the money on ourselves. We appreciate it. Now look, all I'm saying is, if we're going to prep ourselves for a season of peace, do you know there are a lot of people that think, oh man, they've gone out, they bought the brand new, is it a PS5? Is that the new one? How do you know that? Did you buy it? He's in it advertised. How do you know that? So the brand new PlayStation 5. Oh, if I buy that for my family, that'll bring so much joy into my home. It will. On Christmas morning, there will be such joy. Your kids will be thrilled about that. The husband will be thrilled about that. Everybody's going to be happy about that. And then you know what happens? There's only two controllers. Then ends the peace. And the bills and all those things and fighting about the games. And then some of you, and I think it's a lot of men, you'll stay up late, you ought to be in bed with your wife, and instead you're staying up playing video games.
Amen.
That's the truth. Amen. Go to bed with your wife, stop playing games with other men. It looks none of my business what you do in your home. But I counsel a lot of marriages. Yep. You get on there and you're playing people you don't even know and you get mad and you start using the same language they use and you talk to them that way and you got all this stuff going on and you carry that right in. And guess what? God is not glorified in that. And when God is not glorified in that, you will not have peace and you wonder why. It's your fault, sir.
Yep. Amen.
I don't know how many of you women are gamers. For whatever reason, I don't think there's as many women gamers, or at least they just don't admit it. But that's the truth. Do you want peace in your home or not? Do we want peace in our homes or not? Let me wrap this up and I'm done. Now is the time to prepare for a season of peace. Now's the time. We probably can't do it for the world. We probably can't do it for America. You might not even be able to do anything in your neighborhood. But one thing is for sure. Not only can we have peace in our homes, we are responsible to have peace in our homes. And the only way, according to God, to bring peace in our homes is to give Him the glory.
Amen.
And we do that by cleaning up our lives. And then here's an amazing thing. If I could give you just one last little hope, let me just give you one last verse, and I promise I'm done. We go back to the book of Matthew. If we really want to try to do something for our neighborhood, we really want to try to do something for America and the world, watch what Jesus said in the book of Matthew, chapter 5, verse 16. He said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and... Well, what? Well, let's do it again. That they may see your good works, my good works, and then the world will do what?
Glorify
our Father in heaven. If somehow God's people, the people of New Hope, is there hope for Delaware? Could Delaware have a peaceful season? Yeah, if the people of New Hope starting today in the preseason, if we got our lives right. Hey, if we cleaned up our lives. Remember when I said check ourselves as a church? Let's check ourselves. We need to check ourselves. We need to check us. We don't need to worry about what the Catholic Church is doing, what the Presbyterian Church is doing, what the Nazarene Church is doing. We don't need to worry about what any other church is doing. We need to worry about what we're doing. Are we doing what we're supposed to? Are we glorifying God with our good works? And if we glorify God with our good works, this verse says that other people will see our good works and they will glorify our Father which is in heaven. And what was it that God promised he would do if he was given glory in heaven? He said, I will give you peace on earth. So I guess we're kind of responsible for the rest of the world also. But it has to start with us. It has to start with me. It has to start with you. Does my life give glory to God? That's what we all have to ask ourselves right now. Now, that doesn't mean we're all the time on our knees praying. We're not sackcloth and ashes like they did back in the Bible days. It just simply means, does this verse right here, does that look like my life? Does my life look like that? Does your life look like that? And if it does, or if we will take some steps to make it, God says, I'll bring peace to your home. And as all of our homes have peace, Delaware will have peace. And Ostrander and others. Let's pray.